Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levin.
America, welcome to the Inside Scoop from Washington. This is Mark Levin reporting live from the Center for American Progress in Washington, D.C. Our Republican nominee for president is throwing a tantrum. He's really upset. He needs some time out. He's mad at everybody. He's mad at Democrats, he's mad at Republicans, he's mad at the Clintons, he's mad at the press, and no one is left to console him but his good friend Vladimir Putin. You know, let's face it, Donald Trump is a spoiled brat. This is a guy who grew up in the lap of luxury, was always told from the time he was a little child that he was perfect and awesome and nothing could be better than him. And, you know, almost like a young prince, only not the good kind, because today I think princes in England and so forth are taught a little bit of humility, a little bit of at least pretending to care about ordinary people. Donald Trump never cared about anyone but himself. And he spent his whole life that way. And he had no limitations, right? He didn't have to pay people like other people did. The rules didn't apply to him. He didn't have to let in black people in his buildings. He could get married to whomever he wants, just picks up some young model, walk in on naked women in a Miss Universe, grab someone's vagina. I'm not going to use the word he used. Not that that word... Just walk in and grab what he wants. Go after married women. Forcibly kiss them, even when they weren't happy with it. And, you know, cheat not only on all three of his wives, but then leave the first two. The second one, a few months before his prenup was to expire. This is a guy who got whatever he wanted whenever he wanted it. And frankly, bragged about it, right? I mean, it takes a certain kind of person to have gold toilet seats and his name all over buildings, right? Donald Trump is very, very full of himself. The question is why he exists in the first place, why he is the Republican nominee, who has enabled the spoiled brat. The irony is many of the same things he's complaining about are the reasons he is the person he is. After all, his parents, who, you know, gave him lots of money, certainly started the process. But here's a guy who was a bully as a kid and was sent to reform school where he acted up. This is a guy who largely made it based on throwing his name and his weight around and basically abusing others, whether it be Trump University or not paying his workers. But frankly, the people that helped him most were the media, right? He for decades, he was a celebrity. He was a braggart. The same people who are frankly struggling right now would look to him as, oh my God, what's it like to be rich? And rather than looking at, oh, I don't know, the Bill Gates of the world or the Warren Buffetts of the world or those that actually made their wealth through hard work, they look to the playboy. It's a lot more fun to imagine that you don't have to work and suddenly you're very rich. And frankly, he likes being an ass. That's who he is. And I think there are people that think, wow, you know, if I were filthy rich, I would be a jerk too. Now, I do think most people don't think that way. I do think most people actually do care about their families, do care about other people outside of themselves. Not the Donald. Not the Donald. So where did we get here? How did we get here? Why would the Republican Party choose such a jerk to be their leader? And where do we go from here? To understand the Trump phenomena, which I have to admit, everyone is trying to understand, right? We're all still kind of sideswiped by all this. Obviously, this goes back to the Civil War within the Republican Party. See, I don't consider Donald Trump the cause of the Civil War in the Republican Party. I consider him the effect. Kind of like, frankly, and I don't want to, I'm not making it this comparison because of fascism, even though Donald Trump has an authoritarian sensibility, but I actually don't really blame Hitler so much for Germany. I think that the circumstances in Germany created Hitler more than vice versa. You know, you have this long history of mistreatment of people. Germany was very much punished after the war in Versailles, and inflation was crazy high, and the Weimar Republic was a failure, and the people were very angry, and there was a long history of anti-Semitism, of Jew hatred and racism, and this guy just sort of picked up all the threads and put them forward. There was history before Donald Trump. Let's all remember that in the 1980s, which seems like, well, I guess it is a generation ago, we had a Republican president named Ronald Reagan and a Democratic Congress run by Tip O'Neill. And they certainly disagreed on many, many things, but they would go out at night for a drink and they would find some kind of compromise. Indeed, they did exactly what Hillary Clinton talks about in the supposed scandal of WikiLeaks. In public, they would say their respective positions, but in private, they found a way to work together. They found a way to compromise. That's, by the way, what she said about the public-private distinction. For people that don't understand that, well, they're purposely misreading it, which, of course, is the problem. Republicans wanted more power. They had the presidency. They wanted Congress, too. And to do that, they decided they just had to trick people. They couldn't do it based on their policies. They had to lie about people, trick them up about things, make up faux scandals. Newt Gingrich, frankly, started the art of giving these rambunctious speeches to an empty chamber because C-SPAN cameras were there, and made a huge deal out of a very small thing, the Congressional Bank scandal, and rode that wave to power in 1994. And then from there, it just got worse, right? The impeachment of Bill Clinton. Presidents had had affairs in the White House before. John F. Kennedy, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, Dwight Eisenhower, people who we usually respect as presidents, had had affairs before. And while some of those affairs were downright cruel, look at how Franklin treated Eleanor, for example, we've never, as a people, tried to impeach a president for having sex outside of marriage before. But again, the Republicans said, aha, this is our chance. We're taking over. Then comes 2000. Al Gore wins the election. Well, they decide, no, they're going to overturn that election. They're going to do something that's never been done before. Just like they'd never impeached a president before over a marital tryst, they're going to steal an election because they don't want Al Gore to win. Again, it's all about power. So the American people voted for Gore. The people of Florida voted for Gore. They're going to rig the system. They're all about rigging the system. And the rigging continues. Indeed, the reason why it's so hard for Democrats to take over this year is because even though I think Hillary Clinton's going to win, and the Senate's really close, but I think we can win it, the House seems unlikely for us to take over, because when Democrats win a majority of the votes for the House of Representatives, they still don't take over the House. It's the most undemocratic institution in America. Ironically, the House of Representatives was supposed to be the most democratic, the closest to the people. But For example, in 2012, millions more Americans voted for Democrats than Republicans, but the Republicans still controlled the chamber because we know of gerrymandering, drawing the district lines, making sure the representatives choose the voters and not vice versa. And how are the lines drawn? They're drawn by state legislators. And who votes for state legislators? Why, you, the people. In fact, the lines are redrawn every 10 years based on the Constitution, based on the census, and the last big redrawing was 2010. It happens on the decade. 2010 was not a presidential election year. Progressives often stay home, unfortunately, when it's not a presidential election year. And the Republicans decide, aha, nobody looks at state races. Nobody cares. Nobody even knows who their state representatives are. Do you know who your state senator is? Do you know who your state representative is? Side note, for those of you who live in Alexandria, Arlington, or Fairfax, I may represent you at the state level. I hope I do. Okay, I'm a little biased here. Three cheers for state representatives. But you need to know. I know you know who the president is. I know you probably know who your senator, governor, and member of Congress is. But you need to know who represents you in the state house. That's the person who's going to draw those district lines that controls the House of Representatives. So I don't care if you live in a blue state or a very red state. This election is about more than Hillary or the Donald. This election is also about who controls state houses, who controls Congress. You need to get out there and join your local Democratic Party. You need to help because the state offices choose the lines that choose the congressional offices. We have to elect a Democratic House of Representatives. Anyway, in 2010, when Democrats largely weren't watching, the Koch brothers came in, and instead of spending hundreds of millions of dollars on the congressional races, they mostly spent the money on state legislative races. And when no one was looking, they took over many state houses, and that's why we have the gerrymandered lines we have today. Now, we will be able to fix this in 2020. So keep that election in mind. But we have several elections between now and then. In fact, the Virginia election on redistricting happens to be next year's election in 2017. The reason I'm giving you all these details is you need to understand Donald Trump did not just appear out of people's heads. Prior to Donald Trump was the Tea Party and Breitbart News and a whole right-wing news network, whether on TV or on the internet, that started to teach people things that were clear lies. And this began in the 90s. It ironically began with the Clintons. Oh, Hillary and Bill, they killed Vince Foster. Oh, they cheated everyone in Whitewater. Oh, the Travelgate, Filegate. I didn't even remember all these gates. In all of them, the Clintons were found to have done nothing wrong, just like Hillary Clinton was found to have done nothing wrong in Benghazi. Just like in the email scandal, she was found to have done nothing illegal and indeed done the same thing that Colin Powell and many, many other government workers had done. She said she made a mistake on that. Fine, but it wasn't a legal error. It was something that was probably unwise. At any rate, all these scandals, all this crazy stuff, all this taking a small problem and raising it to the level of a national emergency has created a whole bunch of people who believe anything, who believe Obama wasn't born in the United States. Remember, that's how Donald Trump got his start. And these conspiracy nuts are the reason why Donald Trump is there. And so the Republican Party, fighting a civil war, complaining about ignorant people believing ridiculous things, is a little late to understand Frankenstein's monster, which they've created. Give me a call, 888-48-MARK, 888-48-6275. What bothers you most about Donald Trump and the Republican Party? Or do you actually support them? If you support them, you get first dibs. Call in early because you may not get time later. 888-488-6275. Back after this.
He's a Bible-quoting, Constitution-loving, flag-waving, red-blooded, liberal American. He's Mark Levin. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I am your host, Mark Levine, talking about what got us to this place. Yeah, we got a spoiled brat, and yeah, he's having a temper tantrum, and yeah, he needs some time out. But this really isn't about Donald Trump. To me, Donald Trump is there because the Republican Party sold working class white people a bill of goods. They have been trying to get their votes for a long period of time, and it was really hard because the party supports more money for rich people. That's what the Republican Party is all about. So how do you get people who are struggling to make ends meet support giving more money to rich people? Well, you do it by talking about social issues. Keep the blacks down. Keep the gays down. Keep the women down. We got to punish the Mexicans or the Muslims. We got to get this hate up. And let's face it, this is a time-true technique that rulers have used for millennia, right? Blame the Jews. Blame the blacks. Blame the outsider. Blame the people of the different religion from the majority. Blame them and don't look at the fact that we're not helping you at all. So now that you have a whole bunch of racist, sexist, misogynist, xenophobic people out there watching Breitbart and believing all kinds of ridiculous conspiracy theories, now the Republicans are like, wait a minute, why is Donald Trump attacking us? Well, because your base doesn't like you. Because your base has been riled up to fight the Democrats. And now here comes Donald Trump that says, hey, they're not looking out for you either. The irony, of course, is Donald Trump isn't looking out for them either, right? That's what all this argument is about. They're only helping rich people, and the Republican base is starting to learn that. And they still don't like Democrats because they don't like blacks and Muslims, and there's a misogynist tendency, and they don't like gay people, and they want to control women's reproductive organs and all the social issues that largely brought them in. But I think they're just starting to realize they've been duped, at least by the Republican Party. Meanwhile, the Republican Party is stuck because they don't know what to do. If they defend Donald Trump, they lose people of decency. The Republicans out there who actually aren't misogynists, who are offended by the way Donald Trump brags about sexual assault of women. But if they don't support Donald Trump, they risk losing this fired up base that believes every crazy conspiracy theory under the sun. A recent poll showed that 2/3 of Trump supporters believe President Obama was born in Kenya. Now, there's zero evidence for that. In fact, it has been conclusively disproven. And I don't know how many Trump supporters also believe the world is flat, but I'm sure they believe climate change is a hoax and Hillary Clinton is a murderer. Because that's what they've been told living in their social silos, living in the separate universes in which they live. Now, I'm not saying the majority of Republicans or even the majority of Trump supporters feel this way. Many Republicans are just voting for the guy at the top of the ticket. But as Republican support peels away from a guy that everyone is now recognizing as a narcissistic, authoritarian blowhard who doesn't know anything about policy, we see the core Trump support. And it isn't pretty. I will now be taking your calls right after this break. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Right back after this.
Back to the Aggressive Progressive, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I am your host, Mark Levine, taking calls now at 888-488-MARK, 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275, for those who like the numbers, talking about how we got here and where we can expect to go from here. What created the Donald, and why is he throwing a temper tantrum? What made him into the spoiled brat he is, and why is this spoiled brat, who's basically saying, hey, I'm going down, I'm bringing America with me, why does he have this power? We all know people like the Donald, right? I mean, most of us grew out of that, and we probably don't remember this since about third or fourth grade, but you know the kid, the one who loses the game and then knocks over all the pieces, the one who says after losing, you cheated, and you're a bad person, and I don't want to play, and, you know, and then might take a punch on another kid. Yes, That's our Republican nominee. Let's go to Bob in Arizona on line three. Hey, Bob, how are you?
Hi, Mark. Thanks for taking the call.
Thanks for calling.
Your question was, don't get me started, what you dislike most about Trump? So there's a litany of things, but and the most recent, of course, was that disgusting conversation he had on the bus with Billy Bush. But I think the greatest insult to me, I'm a white guy, Caucasian guy, I'm 7 years old, but his insult of our president in questioning his legitimacy was not just an insult to all African Americans or people of color. It was an insult to my country and to me. And I could never forgive him for this. I think it shows what a despicable human being he is. And I'm furious, furious at the media for not saying, hey, Donald, remember when you said that you had people in the ground in Hawaii?
Yeah, where are they? What were their names?
What they were finding?
Yeah. Yeah, what were their names? Who were they? Show us one of them. Bring us one of them in front of the camera. Or just admit that you lied.
Well, you know, Mark, we know he's a liar. He either lied on the bus to Billy Bush, or he lied to Anderson Cooper when he said he had never done that. He told Billy he did.
Well,
he told Anderson he didn't. He lied to one of them, didn't he?
Yeah, I think he lied when he said he didn't do it, because we have a number of women who've already come forward, including a close friend of Aaron Burnett's. On CNN, who said anonymously that he forcibly kissed her and pinned her against the wall. We have the former Miss Utah, who said that he trapped her in Ivanka's bedroom, little children's bedroom, and attacked her. We have the woman who says, who's suing him, that says that he raped her when she was 13 years old. Yikes! Of course, these are all allegations, but what's interesting is that we see the same pattern, particularly the forcible kissing. What he says in the video, it's very clear. He says, I don't wait. I just go, I take my Tic Tac, I kiss them. I don't wait. You can do that when you are famous. Now, when he says you can do that if you're famous, he obviously doesn't mean take a woman out on a date, you know, lean in for a kiss, you know, have nice consensual behavior, of course, totally apart from the fact that he just married his new wife, Melania. Right. He's a predator. He says, I don't wait. I just do what, you know, I just do it. And so he's just a disgusting person. And but you're right. The birther stuff, the problem with Donald, and it's a weird problem the media has, is he tells so many lies that it's hard to keep track of them. And in this way, he does remind me of the Nazi propagandist Joseph Goebbels, because Goebbels taught that the big lie was easier to defend than the little lie. If you say, "Oh, you know, I didn't park there, and you know, officer who gave me a ticket or something little like that," then they can say, "No, you did. We have a picture." But if you make a really big lie, I have people, and it's a secret plan, you know, I have people down in Hawaii, and he wasn't born there, and I've had people, you know, you're absolutely right. Why has no one in the media asked Donald, well, who are those people? Well, he'd say, what did he say? He'd say, I'm not going to tell you. Why won't you tell us? Well, you know, they're private. Well, you know, was it true? Of course it was true. Yeah. Well, why is it that there's no evidence that any of these people existed? You got all these people working for you. Give us some names. Yep. Give us some names.
I'll give this guy a pass. You know what? And when Hillary said deplorables and irredeemables, God bless her, because the lady spoke the truth.
She did.
35% of Americans will still support this guy. Mark, knowing what you know, if you're halfway intelligent, how can you be anything but deplorable if you could still support a man like
that? Well, and what she said specifically about the deplorables, she said half of them, and she later said she regretted saying half because I guess she didn't know how many, but she said half of them were racist, sexist, Islamophobic, homophobic, or xenophobic. And the answer is, whenever a Republican says to me, you know, well, I guess I'm deplorable, I always say to them, so are you racist, sexist, Islamophobic, xenophobic, or homophobic? Do you hate gay people, black people, Muslims, foreigners, or women? Which is it? Well, what are you talking about? You just said you were deplorable, and Hillary said that racism is deplorable. Do you disagree? You think racism is a good thing? Would you? I mean, is racism deplorable? Well, it is. Okay, you agree with Hillary. Is sexism deplorable? Okay, you agree with Hillary. It's people are taking her comments out of context purposely, because they know that ignorant people will follow it. And that's part of the thing, like this whole private-public distinction, which was on WikiLeaks, which, first of all, absolutely Vladimir Putin is trying to put out there because he wants his buddy Donald Trump to win, because Donald Trump will give him Poland or the Ukraine or wherever. But the other side issue is that what she said is absolutely normal political behavior. If you're entering a negotiation, it is the stupidest thing to do, she was saying, to lay all your cards out on the table. You don't go into your negotiation and say, I'm going to give this and I'm not going to take that, because you wouldn't win. No lawyer would ever do that. That would be malpractice for a client. At Camp David, I guarantee you, the Israelis and the Palestinians didn't make clear exactly where they were going to compromise. And when I go and I talk with Republicans in the Virginia House of Delegates, right? I don't say, I'm going to compromise this to take that. That's what she called the sausage making of legislation. It's where you take a piece and take a piece. And if you said everything you were going to negotiate for in public before you entered negotiations, you wouldn't negotiate very well. And Donald Trump knows that, because he's negotiated his own business deals. This is a whole lot of nothing. But the media is not, I haven't heard anyone explain this in much detail. What I did is I actually read the actual emails. And I went and I'm like, oh, well, she's talking about negotiation. Well, yeah, of course you don't state the final compromise position publicly. That's just basic. Everyone knows that. Every politician.
And her comparison to what Lincoln did?
It's exactly what Lincoln did.
Accurate.
It is. Watch it is. And if you've seen the movie, you know. That's right. If you're trying to get the 13th Amendment, which abolished slavery, you talk to Congressman X about this because Congressman X cares about black people. And then you talk to Congressman Y because Congressman Y cares about that, that project in his district. And Congressman Z, Congressman Z, you give some bourbon because you know he likes bourbon, and Congressman Z does whatever you want. I mean, that's how the game's played. That's how Lyndon Johnson got people around doing what he needed to do. That's what a good president does. And it's not the prettiest thing in the world.
It was a perfectly lucid explanation that went way over the head of 35% of Americans.
It did. It did go over their heads. And let's face it, birtherism is an appeal to ignorance.
It's disgusting, Mark. It is an insult to every one of us.
Well, it really is. Hey, thanks for your call, Bob. I appreciate it. Have you called him before?
I enjoyed talking to you.
Your first time calling?
Thanks for your public service, too, Mark. I hope you get reelected.
I do my best. Thanks so much. Let me go to Reggie in Georgia on line one. Hey, Reggie, how are you?
Happy Tuesday to you, Mark.
Happy Tuesday. You know what I like about Georgia and Arizona? Those are the two states that I want to take this November. We haven't won them as Democrats in a long time. I think they're not, it's a bit of a stretch, but I think we can win those states. That'd be great.
Right. Well, I'll tell you exactly how Donald Trump got to where he is today. Because you had teabaggers, tea parties, as it were, and a conservative hate talk radio, like such as Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity and Glenn Beck and the others, and people and those on Fox News Channel,
right?
The
alt-right.
They propelled him up there.
That's right.
They created this Frankenstein's monster, and now he's out of control, and they can't stop him.
That's exactly right. They taught this all these lies, like birtherism is probably the classic example. But and Hillary's some kind of murderer, and they make up this stuff, and people. Look, people treat political parties sometimes like we treat football teams, right? I like my team. And even when my team does something bad, I still like my team. I'm very loyal. So they took these group of loyal voters and they just fed them this nonsense. So now when I say, why don't you support Hillary Clinton? They come up with the latest news thing. I heard this. And it's like, well, why didn't you support her a week ago or 2 weeks ago or a month ago? I could give you examples of why I didn't support Donald Trump from before he entered the race. We have birtherism, right? I didn't need this videotape to tell me that Donald Trump was a disgusting human being. You could look at the Central Park Five and see that this guy was racist 30 years ago.
Right. And you have people like Judge Jeanine Pirro defending Donald Trump's sexist comments towards women.
Yeah, well.
Saying this was only locker room talk for the guys or fraternity locker room talk.
I got to tell you, maybe that works for the hardcore Trump supporters. I don't think it works for anyone who is a woman or who cares about women. I mean, maybe if you got to really twist your brain to suddenly justify these things. Senator Jeff Sessions of Alabama was asked whether groping a woman's genitalia was a sexual assault. And he said, no, it wasn't. And I'm like, you're a former prosecutor, Jeff Sessions. You know the law. But if you tell enough lies to enough people who are fairly ignorant about policy, they're just going to believe it.
It's you had Pat Robertson saying the same thing, and so did Rudy Giuliani and Bill O'Reilly and Roger Stone and, hell, Kellyanne Conway.
Hey, thanks for your call, Reggie. I want to go to Helen in Ithaca on line four. Hey, Helen, how are you?
Hi, good afternoon. I'm bringing something up that's been boiling my blood for as soon as I've heard his confirmation hearings. I think the person who's responsible for a lot of this mess that democracy is in right now is John Roberts, Chief Justice of the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
And I bring that up because you studied law. You're an attorney. And I think I'll bring it up after the election because enough of us have a lot on our minds right now, so I don't need to complicate the things. But, I mean, Rehnquist sent him down to Florida to coach the people in the Bush versus Gore thing, and then it bounced up to the Supreme Court, and then the Supreme Court decided that Bush was the president.
Yeah.
And
they said, we're not going to count the votes in Florida because if we count them, Gore will win, and that would damage the legitimacy of George Bush's claim to be president. It's almost an exact quote from December 9th.
That was an accomplishment for him, I say, and I'm going to use the word evil, if you're counting who is the most evil. So he won that, okay? And I won't say evil genius because it's like putting him on the same plane as like Einstein or something. I'll say evil clever guy. And I listened to every minute of his hearings, of his confirmation hearings, and I'm like, this guy is bad news. This is bad. This is going to be bad.
So what's boiling your blood?
And it is bad. And then the second thing he did is he is the one. It wasn't Citizens United. He found some technicality, supposedly, in the decision, and he had that case retried, the Citizens United case.
Yeah, well, he also, remember what happened with the Affordable Care Act. The reason why half the states haven't implemented it is because the Supreme Court just made up the law and said that states, that Congress couldn't say to states, we won't let you continue Medicare unless you agree with this program. Well, Congress has the right to say that. They've done things like that before. That left states with the authority not to join in. And then, like in Virginia, my home state, they don't allow rural, mostly white people who are struggling to get by, they don't allow them the health care to join in the exchanges. They forbid it as a matter of state law, and then they complain to those same voters, look, Obamacare didn't work, vote for us Republicans. And they fully expect their own voters to be too ignorant to know that the only reason why their health care, well, they can't get health care and their costs are through the roof is because of the same Virginia Republicans themselves. It's kind of like... It's kind of like someone comes to your door and you slam the door in the face, and then you walk around the other side and say, who was that awful man? That was a Democrat. vote for me.
Yeah, and don't forget the Voting Rights Act.
Well,
he decided that...
He said racism was over.
Prejudice in this country.
Yeah, he said racism was over, so I'm going to overturn something that was practically unanimous from the United States Congress because I want Republicans to win. And so he dismantled the great work of Martin Luther King and Lyndon Johnson and did it single-handedly. Yeah, that's a problem, and that's why no matter where you are on the Democratic spectrum, from leftist to progressive to liberal to centrist, we got to vote for Hillary Clinton because we need a new justice on the Supreme Court. Because once we have five, we can undo some of these awful things that you're talking about, Helen. Hey, I got to take a break. Thank you for your call. Folks, if you want to join in, 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. We'll be right back right after this.
He's a Harvard economist and a Yale lawyer. He does not keep up with the Kardashians. He's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. Got a conservative who casually misquotes the Bible and the Constitution? Send him to school with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I am your host, Mark Levine. Let's go right to the phones. And Jeff from Las Vegas on line two. Hey, Jeff, how are you?
I'm good, Mark. Nice to hear you.
Thank you.
Okay, so this is the scenario. I'm a Trump supporter. I'm going to vote for Trump no matter what. But at this point, what it looks like, unfortunately, and I have to admit it, is that he's probably about a 50-1 shot. Meaning,
yeah. Doesn't look good for your guy.
Right. If you take the horses, he's probably about 7 back from the leader. So now I'm going to say every Trump supporter that's listening to my voice, I'm going to tell you to do one thing. Vote for Trump, but do not vote for one Republican in your House races, not one Republican in your Senate. I'm going to do that in Vegas with Joe Heck. He's not going to get in. I'm going to vote the Democrat.
Tell me why, Jeff. Why you support Trump, but you don't support the Republican Party?
I am so sick and tired of Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell. They are complete hypocrites about many things. The major issues, of course, is funding Planned Parenthood, for me anyways. Not given us money, spending a lot of money, and then not giving us an alternative to Obamacare. I mean, they always say, you know, we hate Obamacare and all that. That's fine. But I've never seen one plan, not even on one piece of paper, to say, this is specifically what we're going to do. So those are the two major things why. And I just don't like Paul Ryan or Mitch McConnell. I just don't like them. I don't like them.
Sounds like you don't trust them.
I don't trust them. They've been in power, 4 years now?
Well, Mitch McConnell's been in power for decades. Ryan is a couple years, I think.
Right, but I'm saying the last 4 years they've been in power.
The Republicans certainly have been in power since 2010.
Right.
6 years.
And the reality is these big issues like abortion, like the other things, they've absolutely just been horribly horrendous. They're hypocrites. You know.
So I'm trying to figure out, what is your position on abortion?
Well, my position is the Catholic position, which is no abortions, no exceptions. That's my position. I know a lot of people don't look at it like that. Fine.
So let me ask you this. So Roe v. Wade has been the law of the United States for 40 plus years.
Right.
And I don't think it's going to change under a President Clinton or a President
Probably
Trump.
Not.
But the other issues you're talking about, whether it's health care or so forth,
why
are you so big on Donald Trump? Why not actually hold your nose and vote for Hillary?
No, because I'm a little older than you, I think.
Okay.
I know. Actually, I voted for Bill Clinton.
Okay.
So I did vote for him once when he first got in. I did like Bill Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
But I won't vote for I just will not vote for Hillary Clinton. First of all, her abortion stance is.
No, I understand. I understand you disagree with her on abortion, and that's certainly you're right. I will tell you this, and we're running out of time, but Jeff, I appreciate that your votes are based on positions. They're not based on, you know, birtherism or ridiculous lies. They're actually based on your fundamental position on abortion. And although I disagree with you on that, I respect you for making your choice based on public policy positions and not based on, well, ridiculousness that we've seen. Thanks for your call, Jeff. Thank you, everyone, for your calls. If you're Jewish, have an easy fast. And I will be back on Monday with more of the Inside Scoop.